The book of Revelation chapter 6, we continue our study today, and we begin with the seal judgments. Revelation chapter 6, our study should move a little more quickly now. Most days we will cover a chapter a day, part in the morning, the other half at night, and today we're going to look at the first four seals and the four horsemen of Revelation chapter 6. Would you stand with me in reverence as we open and read from the precious Word of God? Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a loud voice like thunder, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. When he had opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come and see." Another horse, fiery red, went out. And it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another. There was given to him a great sword. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for denarius, and three quarts of barley for denarius. Do not harm the oil and the wine." When he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed him. Power was given to him, or given to them, over a fourth of the earth, to kill with a sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beast of the earth. Again, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we approach you today with thanksgiving, thanking you, Lord, for the salvation that you offer to all who will call upon you through Jesus Christ. Lord, now as we examine your word, open our hearts and our minds, may we be mindful that the time is at hand, and may we live like it, sharing your love and your grace and the power of your salvation with those who we come in contact with. May we be great commissioned Christians. I pray you'd bless in this study now. Open minds and hearts to receive it, and may it make us better servants for you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. All right, if I could call this, you know, give this a title in the bulletin, I said the seals, but this is the beginning of the end. Friends, I want you to know, we are living in the last days. I believe with all my heart, Jesus Christ is coming. Do you? He's coming, and he's coming soon. And even so, my prayer is, come, Lord Jesus. Come soon. You know, I get excited, especially in the chapters that we've already studied as we looked at that the worship service. And I get to thinking, man, what is it going to be like? I look forward to Sunday. Am I the only one? Brother Michael and I are the only ones that look forward to Sunday. You know, worship, church is not a chore for me, and I hope it's not for you. It just fills my heart as we gather together for worship and to lift up our voices in praise. And there's something that happens. You know, you take someone like me, I'm not a recording artist for a reason. Okay? Because I'm just not recording artist quality in the voice department. But you know what? I can join my voice with yours, and boy, something happens, and it just sounds good. You know? I mean, there's nothing like God's people worshiping. But now we get to that point. We've passed those heavenly scenes of worship. And the view is turned back to the earth. I want you to understand that the rapture has occurred. We've already studied about that in Revelation chapter 4. The saints are in heaven. The Holy Spirit, the restraining of the Holy Spirit has now been removed. And now evil is free to rampage this earth. And this rampage begins with these four horsemen that we'll be studying about. I want you to understand is, natural tendency is to say, well, who are the riders of these horses? That's not important. That's not the design, okay? But these horses are personifications of conditions, okay? And that's what we're going to be looking at today. And in the text that we just read, we're dealing with the first part of the tribulation period, okay? And this is the part where God's wrath begins to be poured out in judgment upon this earth. You know, and there are people, it amazes me how that people put God in this box and he's supposed to be this goody-goody God that goes around and anything bad, that God would never do anything. God does never do anything bad. But they can't see God pouring out his judgment upon this earth. I want to tell you something, friends. We have a righteous God, a perfect and holy God. And as such, God will judge sin. Okay? He has to judge sin. Otherwise, he wouldn't be God. And as we look here, we begin with the peaceful conquest of the white horse. The tribulation period will open with the peaceful, and I say peaceful, and it's kind of questionable, you know? But it's this horse, the first horse, the white horse that we see, and this rider that sat on him that had a bow and a crown, he's going to begin to conquer the earth. And the way he's going to conquer the earth is with an ideology, okay? If you'll notice, the rider has a bow, but there are no arrows. He kind of has the threat or the capability to make war, but he doesn't make war. And he's given a crown. That crown represents authority. And the idea is that this person coming with the ideology or the mentality and idealism, and he spreads it to the world and the world buys it, okay? It's an appealing philosophy that will sweep the world. Do you know, I mean, have you ever noticed how if you come up, some people can just come up with things and it just seems like they gather a following. It doesn't matter how silly it is or how dumb it is. Have you ever noticed that? I cannot imagine some of the religions of the world that to me are just absolutely absurd. But yet, hundreds, thousands will follow. And that's kind of what's going on here, okay? It will be an appealing philosophy, an ideology that'll sweep the world. And you say, I don't really believe. But listen, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, we're told, "For this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Listen to me. If you're thinking after the rapture that you're going to wait around and when the rapture happens, then you'll know it and then you'll get right with God and things will be all right. No, sir. Listen, if you have rejected the truth today, the truth of Jesus Christ as the Son of God who gave His life for the sin of the world. If you've rejected that, don't think that when we hit this time that you'll recognize it and get right. Okay? Because God says you've had your chance and He will send strong delusion. You mean God would do that? Absolutely. Okay? Absolutely. And this movement that's going to take place here, okay, that's what we're talking about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. People will just jump on board. Have you ever noticed, okay? See, I think this movement, this white horse movement, ideology, philosophy, will be a religious ideology. And the reason I do is that man has always looked for something religious. I mean, we've always looked for something to make us feel, for lack of a better way to put it, and make us feel warm and fuzzy. Okay? And it doesn't matter how absurd it is. Consider the Buddhist. I'm fixing to not be politically correct, okay? But y'all know I'm good at that, so I wasn't called to be political, so it'd be all right, you know? But consider the Buddhist. It amazes me, what is there about a short, fat, bald, half-naked fella that was made by man that would cause you to want to bow down and worship that statue? I don't get it. To me, it's absolutely absurd. You know? And it's not the Hindus. What is there about a cow? Listen, I love cows. They're just good, okay? But there are people who worship cows, you know? I love a medium alongside a baked potato. It doesn't get any better than that. But I don't worship them, you know? But there are people that have fallen for that. What about in our culture? Do you know there are people who worship Mother Earth? Listen, I'm going to tell you, Earth is not my mother. Okay? I don't know. You know, that just amazes me. There have been times in my life that I have been in those special places where I have just observed the beauty of God's creation, and I have bowed my knee and cried out in praise to the maker of this great universe. But I have never bowed my knee to a tree. Nor do I plan to. But you see, people are consumed by these philosophies and these ideologies, and it doesn't matter how absurd they are, they'll follow. But I want you to consider something, okay? Have you considered the Muslim religion today? Okay? There has been a battle since the time of Abraham between the two sons, Ishmael and Isaac, right? We know Isaac's the promised son, the son of inheritance. But I find it still interesting that 4,000 years later, this battle is still raging. I'll give you a little more background. You ever heard of Muhammad? Do you know who he was? He was a thief, a robber. I know we're going on a not politically correct again, but here's the truth, okay? Some 600 years after Christ, there was a fellow named Muhammad. He was a conqueror. He and his followers would go in and terrify a city and rob and rape and pillage. And this man created his own religion. We know them today as the Muslims. He wrote his own false Bible. We know it today as the Quran. And now, do you know what the fastest growing religion in the world is? It is the Muslim religion. Okay? I mean, it is, and it amazes me. You know, I find it amazing. If you tell me to strap a bomb around my waist and go blow somebody up, you know what I'm going to tell you? Go do it yourself. And I find it absurd. And they preach that they are a peaceful religion. Okay? And the United States and our government, they have bought it. But listen, the goal of a Muslim is to get to heaven. And they get to heaven based on their good works, according to their Quran, okay? And there is one way to guarantee, according to them, their direct passage into heaven, and that's to die killing an infidel. Do you know who an infidel is? That's us. Okay? That is a non-Muslim person. And if they kill a non-Muslim person, they do not pass go, you know, they go straight to heaven according to their religion. As a matter of fact, now, they are a people who are wanting to convert the world. According to their standards, that they are to attempt to convert a person three times. And if the person is not converted within those three attempts, guess what? Their next move is. As a good Muslim, their next move is to kill you. That's the reality of their religion, okay? And their religious leaders have carte blanche. You know, I mean, anything their holy men say, you're supposed to do it. If their holy men say, put on a bomb and go blow something up, you have to do it. Otherwise, if you don't, you're going to hell, according to them. And then they also have the responsibility to kill you because you're not doing what they told you to. It may start peaceably, okay? But make no mistake, the goal of the Muslim world is to control the world, okay? That is their goal, that is their desire. And it's going to be something like that. It's going to be something like that that overspreads the earth with this white horse rider, and people are just going to eat it up. Let me tell you, I was offended on 9/11. Weren't you? I will not embrace that Muslim religion. I will not. Because number one, it's a false religion. Number two, their goal is to kill us all. Right? Kind of that white horse mentality. He goes out to conquer, but he does it peacefully. That's what they're doing right now. And you know, but in the back of our mind, there's this threat. Have you noticed that? People are scared. Governments are scared. And governments are crumbling because they're afraid. Even if they're not attacking, they're still... Governments are bowing down to them. Going on. The white horse. Then we move to the red horse. It's what I call the real conquest. This red horse is described as fiery red, and the rider of the horse will have power to cause worldwide war. And it's... Did you know that in the Muslim religion that it is considered illegal to enter a peace treaty with the infidels? It is not acceptable. It is illegal. Except for one reason. If you cannot defeat the infidels, then you're allowed to enter a peace treaty with them until you build your forces to the point that you can defeat them. And when you get to that point, then you're required to break the treaty and kill them all. Okay? And to feed them. So, as this white horse enters in, he begins to conquer the world. And he does it through the idealism. But there'll be people that won't buy it, that won't fall. Now it's time for the red horse, the heavy hand of war. You know what's interesting? You know, there's a force in the world today that has the ability to unleash worldwide destruction. And do you know who it is? It's not the United States Army. Even though, I mean, we have a great country, a great military. Have you ever heard of sleeper cells? Have you ever seen a movie about stuff like that? It's scary, you know? But do you realize throughout the world, yes, even in the United States of America, there are sleeper cells waiting for their orders to attack. We don't know where they are. We don't know who they are. But we do know that they exist. And the question is not, will they attack? The question is, when will they attack? I believe that's what this is talking about. Listen, worldwide destruction can happen overnight. And the sad thing about it is, most people have the mentality is, oh, it will never happen. It will never happen to us at the, in the United States of America. Keep on thinking that. 9/11 kind of stuck with me. What about you? You know? I was very secure in being an American citizen until 9/11. And then it dawned on me, hey, we're not beyond reach. What's going to happen? We start out with the peaceful conquest, the spread of the ideology. Then we move to the fiery red horse, those who have not accepted this philosophy. War is going to be poured out upon this earth. And then we move on to the black horse, the attack of the economies of the world. The black horse, if you'll notice, the rider has a pair of balances or a pair of scales used for measuring out food. And if you'll notice, the measure of wheat and barley for a denarius, some translations say a penny, that's a day's wage, meaning you would have to work an entire day to have something to eat for that day. Okay? That's just enough for you to eat. Right? Here's the question. If you have to work all day to feed yourself, what's going to happen to your wife? What's going to happen to your children? You see, if you don't eat, then your health's going to go downhill and you're not going to be able to work. But if you eat, then your wife, your children, they're not going to have anything to eat. Am I encouraging you yet? Do you realize, I believe, that there is one way that the United States of America can fall? Do you know how it is? It's not an army. There's not an army in this world that can take us currently. But let the economy crumble, and we will be a nation on our knees. Okay? See, I want you to grab this. 10 years ago, 9/11, airplanes flew into the Twin Towers, right? The Twin Towers collapsed. What happened? Gas went to $3 a gallon overnight. The stock market crumbled, okay? All because two buildings fell down, right? I mean, it just... Things went berserk, right? And that's when, if you'll notice, that's when our whole economy mess started going down, you know? That's when we really got in trouble economically. The price of everything started skyrocketing because gas prices went up and everything's transported by truck. You know, we're a nation that if you take our trucking industry away, we're in trouble. Okay, because that's how everything gets across the nation. What happens with this black horse is the same thing that happened 10 years ago, except it'll happen on a much larger scale. You'll have to work just to have enough to eat. In our American mentality of more stuff, you know, we work today because we want more stuff, right? Those days will be gone. It'll just be having something to eat. But you know what? I believe with all my heart, those who are saved are going to be viewing this from heaven. Okay? I believe the rapture has already occurred. You say, well, Brother Doug, why do we study this? Well, number one, because it should light our fire, knowing what those who are left behind are going to have to face. And we should have a purpose to win them to the Lord, you know? I mean, that should be our life, to be Great Commission Christians sharing the gospel so that the people do not have to face this. And if you're here and you're lost, here's the other reason. Times are coming, okay? This is a warning from the Word of God. Then finally, we get to the pale horse, the pestilence and the plague, ridden by death himself. And this pale horse rider has power to kill 1/4 part of the world's population. How? With the sword, with hunger, and with death. Okay, we started out with a peaceful conquest of ideology. Then we go to war. Now there's been economic collapse. Now it is a free-for-all. It is people are dying by war, by battles. People are dying because food is in short supply. We learned that from the last writer. People are dying from pestilence. Have you ever noticed what happens in a war-ravaged country and they start having, I've forgotten what they call them, these camps of people trying to run away from the trouble? And they run to it. And what's their biggest concern? Their biggest concern is disease from the unsanitary conditions, you know. And it breaks out and it kills them massively. Let me tell you something. As this pale horse rider is released, as Jesus himself breaks this fourth seal, it just releases death in a cataclysmic fashion. So much so that according to the scripture here, 1/4 of the world's population will die. You know how many that is? It depends on how, you know, somewhere 1.5, 2 billion people. Can you imagine the level of suffering and torment, of death? What I want you to get today, this morning, is this is real. Okay? This is not a fairy tale. This is coming out of the Word of God. And it's going to happen. It was given to us as a warning. And I know today, when you say things like, Jesus is coming back, outside these walls, people look at you like, yeah, right. But let me tell you something. I know that message has been preached for 2,000 years. But my friends, it does not change the fact that Jesus is coming back. It's going to happen. And when he does, when he returns, and we hear that trumpet, that voice-like trumpet from the air that we studied about a few weeks ago that says, come up hither, come up here. And all the saints of God hear that voice and we're snatched off this earth to meet Jesus in the air. It's going to happen. It's real. And as we're in heaven, this is what's going to be left behind on this earth. Matthew 24:32, I read earlier. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When the branch is yet tender, it putteth forth leaves. Ye know that summer is nigh. My friends, it's near. It's near. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, that some as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is the goal. You want to know why Jesus has not come back yet? Yeah, I know why. Because he's not willing that any should perish. Every one of you sitting here today, Jesus desires to save you and welcome you into the family of God and deliver you from the destruction that is coming. Jesus proved his love for you, according to the scripture, by dying to pay for your sin. How many sinners do we have here today? Would you say amen? Amen. I'm probably the worst one here. But you know what the good news is? Jesus died for my sin. He gave his life so that I might live forever. He gave his life so that I would not experience the wrath of God as it's poured out upon this earth. Jesus died for me, and he died for you. And now today, he calls you. Come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Listen, are you a child of God? Are you ready for the end? If you're not, and I know, yeah, preacher, yeah, right. Listen, it's coming. Are you ready? If not, the Bible tells you how to get ready. John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It's today you turn to Jesus. Repenting. You know what repent means? It means to turn away from and towards something else. And what you do when you're saved, you turn away from whatever it is you're believing in. Okay? There's a lot of people believe that they're good enough to go to heaven. Do you know that? Isn't that amazing? I know y'all. You're not good enough to go to heaven. Neither am I. None of us are. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us has earned the right to heaven. Oh, but Jesus has made it available to us through his sacrifice. Okay? And the only way that you can become a member of the family of God is to call out to Jesus for salvation. Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you ever called? Brother Doug, I was baptized back years ago. Listen, if you were baptized and you didn't take care of the salvation first, all you got was wet. There has to be that point of commitment where you gave Jesus your life and your heart. And listen, if you've never done that today, today's the day. Will you come as we have this verse of invitation? If there's any spiritual need, will you come and say yes to Jesus? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your precious word, for the warning that we have in your word. Thank you, Lord, for the salvation that you've made available to all. I pray that today, that we'd all be reminded that you are coming. That there is coming a time of tribulation upon this earth where the wrath of God will be poured out. that there is coming a time when literally men will cry out for the rocks to fall upon them. Lord, help us take that warning today. For those who are lost, I pray that today will be the day that they come to you for salvation, that they experience your love. For those of us who are saved, may we be reminded that it is our job to be Great Commission Christians, sharing the gospel message with everyone. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the privilege of sharing your word. Now I pray that your will be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.